From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. This week, I thought I would discuss an international expert consensus document on Takotsubo syndrome. This is really an excellent document published in the European Heart Journal on a topic that I think is gaining increasing recognition and for which the treatment, frankly, remains a little bit vexing. As you're aware, Takotsubo syndrome is a fairly poorly recognized heart disease that was initially regarded as a benign condition, but more recently it has been shown that it can be associated with more severe complications, including death, and its prevalence has probably been underestimated. We all love the name, right? Takotsubo is derived from the Japanese word for an octopus trap, to the shape of the left ventricle at the end of systole. And it's had a number of other names ascribed to it: broken heart syndrome, stress cardiomyopathy, and apical ballooning syndrome, to name a few. The most common symptoms of Takotsubo are acute chest pain, dyspnea, and or syncope, and thus it can be, and frankly is, indistinguishable from traditional acute myocardial infarction at first glance. Takotsubo syndrome is estimated to represent between 1 and 3% of all MIs and about 5 to 6% of STEMIs in female patients. The diagnosis of Takotsubo is often challenging because its clinical phenotype is very much resembling that of an acute MI, including ECG and biomarker findings. While a widely established non-invasive tool allowing a rapid and reliable diagnosis of Takotsubo is currently lacking, for now, coronary angiography and left ventriculography is considered the gold standard and diagnostic tool to establish or confirm the diagnosis. The pathophysiology of Takotsubo is completely understood as well. Certainly, there's evidence that sympathetic stimulation is central to its pathogenesis. And often, either an identifiable emotional or physical trigger precipitates the syndrome in most patients. Takotsubo has been associated with conditions of catechol excess as well, such as pheochromocytoma, central nervous system disorders, and activated specific cerebral regions. Physical triggers are generally more common than emotional stress factors. It's interesting, male patients are more often affected by physical stressful events, and with women, an emotional trigger is slightly more likely to trigger the disorder. I have personally seen Takotsubo in a woman who rescued her husband from a burning home, in another woman who was basically trying to carry a sofa up a flight of stairs, something very heavy that she was not comfortable with in terms of its weight, and certainly have had a number of patients with severe emotional triggers as well. So current evidence suggests that Takotsubo is caused by an acute release of catechols from either sympathetic nerves, the adrenal medulla, or as drug therapy, and occurs primarily in patients with increased susceptibility to the microcirculation and potentially susceptibility of the cardiac myocytes to the stress hormones, leading to prolonged but transient LV dysfunction with or without secondary myocardial inflammation. Related to this, of course, is the notion that chemotherapeutic agents increasingly are seen as a potential cause for Takotsubo. There are several anatomical types to Takotsubo. I'll review briefly four. The most common and the most widely recognized is the apical ballooning type, also known as typical Takotsubo. That occurs in the majority. But several other types have been recognized recently. There's something called a midventricular type, a basal type, and a focal wall motion abnormality type. There's a growing body of evidence that notes that acute cardiovascular events are not distributed randomly over time, but may instead depend on the time of day, day of week, months, season, etc. And for Takotsubo, it appears that a summer preference may be predisposed rather than a winter peak, as we often see in some syndromes like acute MI due to plaque rupture. So let's talk a little bit more about the diagnostic workup and management. Obviously, patients presenting with an ST elevation event should undergo urgent coronary angiography and typically left ventriculography to exclude an acute MI. In patients who have a non-ST segment elevation, there's a score called the INTERTAK, I-N-T-E-R-T-A-K, diagnostic score, which can be considered. This score comprises seven parameters: female sex, emotional trigger, physical trigger, absence of ST segment depression, psychiatric disorders, neurologic disorders, and QT prolongation, and is ranked by their diagnostic importance. So the INTERTAK score can be assigned to a patient to establish a relative likelihood of Takotsubo. More recently, there's a specific cardiac MR criteria for Takotsubo, which includes the combination of typical regional wall motion abnormalities, evidence of edema, and the absence of evidence of irreversible tissue damage or injury that we would get typically from late gadolinium enhancement. You know, even though Takotsubo has generally been considered a benign disease, more recently observations are showing that the rates of cardiogenic shock and death are comparable to ACS caused by plaque rupture and accordingly need to be treated aggressively. Guidelines regarding Takotsubo management are lacking, as there are really no large prospective randomized clinical trials that have been performed for this patient population. And so the therapeutic suggestions here are really based on clinical experience and expert consensus. Clearly, since Takotsubo can be difficult to distinguish from ACS, these patients typically are presented and treated as an ACS patient in the beginning. They get admitted to cardiology typically, they have serial enzymes and imaging, and often a cardiac cath as well, and receive guideline-based therapy for ACS, aspirin, heparin, and if required, morphine and oxygen. Typically, patients with shock or arrest require intensive care. Since we think that catechol elevations are part of the pathophysiology, beta blockers make sense and should probably be used until there's full recovery of the LVEF. But clinical trials supporting this hypothesis are lacking. We also have to remember that pause-dependent torsade de pointe could be an issue in patients who have a tendency to bradycardia. So we need to be careful for patients with bradycardia, especially if they have a QTC greater than 500 milliseconds. The use of ACE or ARB has been associated with improved survival at 1 year in propensity-matched observational studies. Contrary-wise, there's no evidence of survival benefit from these same types of studies with beta blockers. Since psychiatric disorders like depression and anxiety are common in Takotsubo patients, where appropriate, these patients should be referred for evaluation and potentially therapy. More and more, we recognize that Takotsubo syndrome is more than a cardiac disease. It requires a completely new and interdisciplinary approach to increase awareness, not only among cardiologists, but physicians at large. Increasingly, we're thinking we're seeing it in patients who are diagnosed and treated for cancer, patients after non-cardiac surgery, etc. Clearly, we need prospective trials in order to have more confidence about our medical therapies, and that certainly would be wonderful to have. So I thought this was a terrific review. Takotsubo is, I think, being increasingly recognized. I commend our European colleagues who created this expert consensus document. I found it very interesting and useful. I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from acc.org. You can find the articles mentioned in this podcast on ACC's website, and you can find us online or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, have a good one. Thank you.